Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to wrap things up this week looking at some of the teaching of St. John the Apostle in his famous Last Supper Discourse. If you didn't have a chance, friends, to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website. The programs are there, archived. You can download them and put them on whatever device you like. Best thing to do is to download the Renewal Ministries app and the Ave Maria app. You can listen to these programs whenever it's convenient for you. And also, I'd encourage you to, if you do that, to spread it around to friends. Let's spread the word. I mean, there's so much need for encouragement. If these programs have encouraged you and fed you, a great way to be an evangelist and to take part in the mission of the church is to spread this stuff around. Just tell people about it. There's so many people out there, friends, who are paralyzed by fear and loneliness and confusion and division and sadness, and they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the promises of God and the truth of God, the things we're talking about. And so also, if you can, friends, if the Lord puts it on your heart, you can financially support us in any way at Renewal Ministries. I encourage you to do that. You can go right to our website. There's a donate button there. You could do it there. You could also do it at Ave Maria Radio and help us keep these stations moving, these programs that, you know, Ave Maria Radio is pretty amazing because it has so many programs that it creates itself. So many of the people on the whole daily schedule are men and women, brothers and sisters who's created these programs. God just put it on their heart. And friends, I want to tell you, no one is making big money on these programs, at least as far as I know. And I'm here at the Ave Maria headquarters, you know, recording this. And there's just a lot of very dedicated people here living on lean budgets. And they're really producing a lot of great stuff on just a little. The Lord's multiplying their efforts. And it's really beautiful. So if you can support us in any way, I encourage you to do that. Okay, I want to kind of wrap up today what I began yesterday talking about, some of the ways the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete that Jesus talks about quite a bit in that Last Supper discourse. It's the great consolation that Jesus is communicating to the apostles and saying, look, I am leaving. You're not going to see me. You're not going to see me for a while. But I want you to know I'm still going to be with you. So it probably stretched them. We can tell by some of what the apostles said, it definitely stretched them. Like, what's he talking about? And he said, I'm going to send the Spirit. So beginning again with John 14, verse 15 and following, if you love me, keep my commandments. We can't hear that enough, friends. We have to understand the love language of heaven, the way God understands love, is expressed in obedience and was perfectly exemplified in Jesus. He humbled himself, Philippians 2 says, St. Paul, becoming obedient, even unto death, death on a cross. So he humbled himself, becoming obedient. That's what Jesus calls us to humble yourself now. You're not the center. God is the center. God's not the center because God needs to be the center, or he's not doing this because he's insecure and he wants you to be preoccupied by the fact that he's the center. No, you... God just, in fact, objectively is the center of all things, and our good, our happiness, the fulfillment of our lives, the peace, joy, the fruits of the Spirit, all the things we would desire to have in this world, we can't get them apart from being, you know, having right ordered and our loves ordered rightly, and that's having God at the center and loving God at the center of our life. Trust me, it's a much greater value add for our life than it is for God. And it's not like God is jealous in a weak sense and he's demanding, you have to love me. No, he's offering himself and his will to us so that we who have darkened minds, who have been made by him and for the purpose that he knows fully and understands, walking in it, in that purpose, walking in his commands, keeping him at the center is the way that we come to full life and inheriting all that he says. So if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father. So what's Jesus doing right now? He's praying to the Father on our behalf, and he will give you another helper. So Jesus is praying, as the catechism says, you know, Jesus's intercession assures the permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the constant life and work of the Spirit, Jesus said that he may abide with you forever. So the gift we were given in baptism, being born again by water and the Spirit, that new life in the Holy Spirit, this is just the beginning. It's going to last forever, that abiding, living with, walking in, obeying, surrendering, listening to, being comforted by. This is the beginning of an eternal inheritance that's there. And then Jesus said, He is the Spirit of truth. He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So the first way Jesus comes to the apostles is through the Spirit. And that is the indwelling of God, right at the core of our being. And Jesus is living with us there. So he's with us. And then he's going to physically come back at the second coming. Okay, that's the first thing the Holy Spirit does. And so he gives us life, he leads us, teaches us how, and gives us the power to love the Lord and obey the Lord, just the way Jesus did in his relationship to the Father. Second, the Spirit highlights the teaching of Jesus and says, the Holy Spirit will remind you about the truth and the promises, what I myself, the commands that I gave you, especially when you need it. He will help you. So, John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And again, in John 17, Jesus is saying, Father, I'm praying not only for the apostles, that these things that I've taught them and given to them, that they be with them and grow in them, but I pray for all those who will become followers as a result of the ministry of the apostles. Okay. Number three, the Spirit highlights what? He reveals more of Jesus to us through his people. John 15, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me, and you will also bear witness. So the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? The Holy Spirit comes to testify to Jesus, to preach to your spirit, my spirit. You see that in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit, telling us that we're children of God. That's what Jesus came to tell us. That he's the Son of God, he's the eternal Son of God, the child of God, and by virtue of his becoming one of us, bringing the kingdom, dying on a cross and dealing with everything that separates us from God, rising from the dead to begin a new creation, to enter into the glory at the right hand of the Father, and with all authority, the beginning of that reality, the Holy Spirit comes to testify to all that he's done. And to reveal the mystery of the Father's plan to us. So we can count on the help of the Holy Spirit. So in your prayer, if there's dimensions of the life of faith you don't understand, say, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. You're reading a scripture passage and you need help. You know, check the commentaries and other kinds of things. But also, Lord, what are you saying to me in this passage? Help me understand. So the Holy Spirit's the first evangelist, you might say. He's the preacher, the teacher par excellence. He comes to reveal the majesty, the victory, the plan, the magnificence of Jesus. The fourth thing to mention about the Holy Spirit that Jesus highlights is that the Holy Spirit comes to convict unbelievers as the apostles speak God's word. And it's such an important thing to understand. The kingdom of God, we are called as disciples to live the message and to proclaim the message. Live with a witness of life. And to speak the gospel, speak the truth, proclaim it, declare it. Now, just to underline briefly, yes, we're supposed to do both. Who's supposed to do it? Everybody. We're all supposed to be involved in it at some level. Not everybody's going to have a radio show. Not everybody's going to stand on a street corner. Not everybody's going to be the Pope. But every one of us, whether it's to our children, to our spouse, friends, the neighborhood, whoever the Lord has brought into our life, to always be ready to share what the Lord has given to us in the gospel. And so that's just standard understanding. That's just who we are. That's a healthy, normal Christian who gets that and walks in that. Now, we also know that without the Lord, without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. We can't convince enough people. We can't convert anybody. That's God's work, as Jesus celebrated when St. Peter was getting revelation from the Father when he testified that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus said, hey, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my heavenly Father. You got the message, and I know it came from the Father because it can't come from any place else. It's God himself who's bringing forth the message through
others.
So he convicts them, John the Apostle says, very powerfully in John 16. He said, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's pretty interesting. Of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. First of all, that Jesus is right about sin, that the human person is by default, by nature, fallen and under the power of sin and death, and is eternally separated from God and needs to be saved from those powers and set free from those powers to come into a new power, the life of God, that for which we were made. So the Holy Spirit's going to convict people. The message Jesus spoke, his whole life, and what we communicate about Jesus, as I said earlier in the week, Jesus said, I think in John 7:7, maybe it was there, I think I have the right passage, but nonetheless, you can look it up if it's not. And Jesus said that the world hates him. Why? Because he convicts the world of its sin. He exposes the sin in the world, and that's in people. It's not just a force out there, or it's not just in structures or in political systems or in financial systems or something, structures of sin or whatever. It is in the human heart. The reason it's in the world is that it's in the human heart. The reason it got into the human heart is because the kingdom of darkness and Satan's in the world. This has been his kingdom. Jesus came to break the power of that kingdom. So the Holy Spirit, through the life of the disciple, through the proclamation, the testimony that the Holy Spirit gives us about Jesus and that we speak to others, the Holy Spirit works through that communication to convict people of sin so that they repent. And then of righteousness. Jesus said, because I go to the Father. What does that mean? That in the end, Jesus was killed as a criminal. He was falsely accused, obviously. But in the world's eyes, he was a troublemaker, and he was killed on a cross, and he was pathetic, and he was a loser, and he got the punishment he deserved, and there was nothing to pay attention to in his life or what he said and what he did. The opposite is true. The Holy Spirit has come to tell everybody, look, he's risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's totally vindicated. He's the absolute righteous one. He's the one that's in perfect right relationship with the Father. He's the only one. There is no other like him. And to the degree that there is, like in Our Lady and the saints and others, it's because they participate in what belongs to Jesus. It doesn't originate in them. It originates in him. It comes from him. And then lastly, it also convicts them of judgment, that Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. That means Jesus gets the final word on everything, including your life, friend. You're going to have a particular judgment before Jesus when you die, immediately, just like me. We're going to give an account of our life immediately at our death. All authority and power and final judgment belongs to Jesus. And of course, he will come in the second coming when everybody and everything will be brought forth, and he will be the one that has judgment on it all. He's the one who will say, this is good, this is not. He will be the one who said, this is the truth, this is love. Everything I said was true, and everyone who's lived in it will receive their reward. Everyone who hasn't will be separated and condemned and separated from God forever. And so the Holy Spirit gives human hearts that conviction. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.